Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Vaibhav Global Limited Earnings Conference Call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Karl Kohler of CDR India. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Margaret. Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Vaibhav Global's Q3 and 9M FY22 earnings conference call. Today we have with us Mr. Sunil Agarwal, Managing Director, Mr. Vineet Ganeriwala, Group CFO, and Mr. Prashant Saraswat, Head Investor Relations. We will begin the call with opening remarks by Mr. Sunil Agarwal on the business operations, key initiatives, and broad outlook, followed by a discussion on the financial performance by Mr. Vineet Ganeriwala, after which the management will open the forum for a Q&A session. Before we get started, I would like to point out that some statements made or discussed on today's call may be forward-looking in nature and must be viewed in conjunction with the risk and uncertainties we face. A detailed statement and explanation of these risks is included in the earnings presentation, which has been shared with you all earlier. The company does not undertake to update these forward-looking statements publicly. I would now like to invite Mr. Sunil Agarwal to make his opening remarks. Over to you, Sunil.
Thank you, Karl. Greetings to all and thank you for joining us today in earnings conference call of Vaibhav Global Limited for the quarter ended 31st December 2021. I hope all of you, your colleagues and near and dear ones are healthy and keeping safe. I hope you have reviewed the results and earning presentation. Revenue in Q3 grew by 3.5% YoY on a very high base of last year and grew strong 33.2% over Q3 FY20. Our 9-month revenue grew by 10.3% YoY and by 38.9% over the same period of FY20. Post Q1 of this financial year, consumers went for revenge outing and vacations, thus impacting demand. This phenomenon continued in Q3, leading to muted revenue growth across the utility industry. Festive demand was encouraging. However, demand tapered in the later part of Q3 owing to Omicron uncertainties. Gross margins were at 60.4%. Had a slight contraction of 1% YoY, mainly due to product mix and demand supply mismatch at product level, owing to longer transit times. Similarly, EBITDA margin during the quarter was 11.4%. Excluding Germany, it would have been 13.2% versus 17.4% last year. EBITDA margins were impacted owing to conscious investments in digital marketing, OTA households, and elevated sea freights. A greater thrust is being laid on improvement through better cost and price management in coming period. During the quarter, investments on new OTA homes, digital marketing, marketplace marketing, and OTD marketing continued. These investments are intended to support our growth ambitions for coming years. These investments have already given us 5% higher new customers in Q3 compared to last year, and a much stronger growth of 40% over Q3 FY20. In US, our revenue and unique customer counts on OTT have tripled YoY, implying a great opportunity in this vertical for us. Our current investments will build on significant opportunities in the long run across our addressable markets in US, UK, and Germany. Retail is rapidly moving digital, and we perceive that today's savvy shoppers want to feel digitally empowered online experience. Hence, we recently finished upgrading our tech infrastructure on Salesforce Commerce Cloud. Our recent expansion in high-potential German market is faring well and offers tremendous growth prospects on TV, digital, and marketplace platforms. There have been certain earlier than planned airtime tie-ups resulting in higher than planned upfront investments. However, we may now be break-even by third quarter of FY24 in Germany, which is approximately 1 year earlier than originally projected. We believe in saving investments for long-term growth. Recently, TGC UK announced 3U channel change to number 22 from erstwhile 3U channel number 50. This investment is expected to enhance the leadership of TGC's proprietary TV channel substantially with corresponding increase in its market share, thus providing long-term growth opportunities. Similarly, ShopLC USA has decided to move its headquarters to an own premise whose construction is expected to be completed by September 2024. This move is expected to bring operational synergies and substantial savings in future. We have also acquired 60% stake in Encase Packaging Private Limited, India. This acquisition will further consolidate our existing integrated supply chain and give substantial savings in packaging costs. We perceive that these investments might impact return ratios in short term, but it provides huge growth opportunities for our future. Our vertically integrated model and our supply chain network spanning 30 countries is the backbone of our business and a key differentiator vis-a-vis our peers. The low-cost manufacturing with value sourcing base enables to serve excellent value-conscious customers in our addressable markets in US, UK, and Germany. This results in industry-leading gross margins for VGR. Further, the 4 R's, widening reach, new customer registrations, customer retention, and repeat purchase remains to be our key priorities for overall growth. The reach of our TV networks by the end of Q3 FY22 was approximately 127 million TV homes. We reach TV homes through cable, satellite, telco networks, and over-the-air antenna-based OTA platforms. Our products are also available on digital channels, including all proprietary websites, smartphone apps, OTT platforms, and marketplaces. New registrations in trailing 12-month period continue to be strong and came in at 3.1 lakh compared to 2.8 lakhs in the corresponding period of previous year. Our engagements with new customer deepens, we expect to continue to drive bigger volumes. Customer bought an average of 29 pieces on TTM basis from us compared to 27 pieces in the corresponding period of previous year. This reflects our ability to not only support changing customer preference, but also respond to them with agility. Finally, our retention rate stood at 42.3% on TTM basis compared to 51.4% for the same period last year. Retention rate has been lower owing to many essential customers as well as more stay-at-home buyers of last year. Q3 has been transient in nature, but the underlying long-term business prospects are promising. Our team's confidence and optimism is reassuring and well-prepared to capture future growth. We expect our overall revenue growth to be 8 to 10% in the current financial year, on top of 28% robust growth of last year. We expect our growth rate to be 13 to 15% in next financial year and 15 to 17% in midterm. Sustainability is at the core of everything we do, and the same is reflected in our mission and guides on everyday decisions and actions. We are enthused to share with the fact that our SEZ unit in Jaipur has been conferred with IGBC Performance Challenge 2021 for Green Building Environment Excellence Award under factory category, and has become the first and only jewelry plant in India to achieve this milestone. Vaibhav Global Limited has recently bought 84 two-wheeler electric vehicles for its employees. These EVs will be deployed for employees' commute. These EVs are expected to sequester 25 tons of carbon every year and would aid in our sustainability effort to become a zero carbon company in future. Recently, we have crossed a milestone of 61 million meals through our one-for-one program, Your Purchase Feeds, for school children with a run rate of 59,000 meals being donated every day. We have a robust cash flow model and track record of returning meaningful cash to shareholders. Hence, the board has recommended third interim dividend for the year, which is 1.5 rupees per equity share. In the end, we would like to reiterate that there are multiple levers for future growth and margin improvement, and our long-term ambition is to sustain growth while building decent operating leverage. With this, I now hand over the call to Vineet to discuss financial performance. Over to you, Vineet.
Thank you, Sunil. Good evening, everyone. A warm welcome to Vaibhav Global's earnings conference call. While Sunil gave you some details on overall performance and business status in the just concluded quarter, I will now take you through our financial performance for the quarter and 9 months ended 31st December 2021 in detail. In-person shopping, which gained momentum in Q2, continued during Q3 as well, which was later also impacted by Omicron-led uncertainty in the digital retail industry. Consequently, e-com industry across the U.S. and U.K. faced temporary headwinds with declining sales mix of online sales. Amidst these macro challenges, though temporary in nature, our revenue grew by 3.5% over Q3 of FY 2021. But when we compare it with same quarter of FY 2020, it is substantially up by 33.2%. In local currency terms, ShopLC US revenue grew by 1.1% year-on-year, and TJC UK had a decline of 6% year-on-year in Q3 this year. In UK, the e-commerce industry was impacted the most amongst our addressable markets. The mix of e-com market to overall sales retail in UK dropped by almost 4.4% during Q3, as suggested by the macro data. We believe these trends are temporary in nature, and we expect the industry to recover soon, as shown by the macro indicators as well. Our recent investment in UK, wherein Shop TJC's preview channel will now be aired at number 22 from erstwhile number 50, is expected to enhance our viewership substantially. We are confident that our new broadcasting rights in UK will allow us to strengthen our visibility in the long term and will continue to gain market share out there. Our TV revenues grew by 1.8% year-on-year to rupees 467 crores, whereas digital revenue grew by 4.5% year-on-year to rupees 268 crores, implying relatively improved traction and reassures our sustained investment on digital platforms. TV refers to our proprietary TV channels that includes free-to-air channels on OTA platforms as well. Currently, digital sales mix to overall retail sales is 36%, which includes our proprietary websites, shopping apps, OTT platforms, marketplaces, and social commerce. This omni-channel offering promotes and encourages customers to transact on both TV and digital platforms, which gives them a unique shopping experience, and such omni-channel customer tends to be sticky and have a significantly higher lifetime value than customers who buy only on TV or only on digital. Omnichannel also provides opportunity of cross-selling over platforms. During the period, the budget pay revenue mix was at 39% of retail revenue, ensuring flexibility to customers to buy high ticket size items as well with ease. As far as our product mix is concerned, jewelry accounts for 70% of the total retail sales, and the rest 30% is comprised by lifestyle products, which includes apparel, home decor items, beauty, and accessories. Over the last many years, share of non-jewelry has increased multifold, indicating our ability to take higher wallet share out of the same household. Q3 witnessed a slight dip of 1% in gross margins year-on-year, which was largely on account of the product mix. Through our robust vertically integrated supply chain, we were able to manage supply headwinds, which is grappling the entire industry, and maintained our gross margins at a very healthy level above 60%. Our EBITDA margins dropped from 17.4% to 11.4% in Q3. This is attributable to increased sea freight, our accelerated investments on digital and broadcasting, and our initial setup cost in Germany. We believe current EBITDA margins are not true reflection of our business model and expect it to revert to our earlier levels of mid-teens in the medium term. Profit after tax for the quarter is Rs. 69 crores as against Rs. 92 crores year on year, owing to the above mentioned increased investments. Operating cash flow was Rs. 67 crores for the 9-month period, impacted by higher than planned inventory, which is expected to unlock in the coming quarters. Free cash flow was minus Rs. 155 crores as we underwent major capex towards warehouse robotics automation, purchase of land bank in USA for our new headquarters for ShopLC, initial setup cost of Germany, and towards upgrading technology infrastructure of our mobile websites and mobile apps. The said investments are expected to provide synergies in terms of cost optimization, functional integration, and resultant growth opportunities. On a TTM basis, the ROE and ROCE were 26% and 38% respectively. These ratios reflect short-term impacts of conscious business investments which we are making, but are still at a very healthy levels and at our par with our normal pre-COVID years. Finally, the board of directors have recommended third interim dividend of Rs. 1.50 per equity share for quarter 3 FY22. Towards the end, I would like to say that our balance sheet remains lean and healthy. We continue to remain alert and agile to ground developments. We are doubling down on Market Connect, digital initiatives, and remain confident on our resilience and ability to outgrow markets. Gradual restoration of markets and normalcy is expected throughout Q4. However, we are adopting a pragmatic approach to continue to gain further market share. With this, I hand over back to the moderator.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who would like to ask a question, please press star and one at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Manish Poddar from Nippon India AIF. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. I have three questions. First one is, could you probably help me understand, so in Germany, I think you are mentioning the unique customer count is roughly now about 6,000 odd, right, at the end of December. Just in terms of repeat purchase or, let's say, frequency, how are these numbers stacking there?
Yeah, so repeat purchase currently is tracking about 8 purchases per customer. So digital customer is lower and the TV customer is higher. So 8 purchases since we pretty much started in September. So that would be about 4 months period. Now annualized, it will be higher. We don't have the data yet. Uh-huh. Just let me reconfirm. Can you confirm that 8 purchase is for 4 months or annualized?
So 8 is annualized repeat. So it builds. It is improving month by month. So when we started, it was 2, 3. Now in the quarter, we see already an annualized repeat of 8.
Okay. So, and then the next one is, let's say, you know, your integration of the platform in both US and UK, would it be fair that you are now present across platforms largely, let's say, where you have to operate?
Yes. So, all digital platforms, marketplaces, digital through mobile, desktops, tablets, and social media, YouTubes, OTT. Yes, pretty much everywhere.
So would it be fair that a large part of the spends which you would require for, you know, probably integrating or the initial investments which you need to do for US and UK is largely behind, and here onwards, you know, whatever will be the inflation plus, you know, some bit of marketing-led spend which you might have to do depending on campaigns, that might be the only spend which you would have to do. There won't be any material or, you know, J-curve in spends. That is what I'm trying to understand for these two geographies.
Yeah, so we won't have as much capex because our warehouse automations are done. Our major platform capex are done. Only further investments will be on marketing automation that we want to create through Salesforce marketing automation. So we already signed up the agreement with them last year. So there's a continued thrust on that space to leverage our customer base.
And the movement to cloud also happens for both geographies?
Yes, everything is on cloud now.
US, so for both the geographies, but for both UK and US?
Yes, UK, US, Germany, all are on cloud.
Okay, great. So just, you know, two more questions then. If looking at your slide 29, you know, where you are talking about EBITDA margins for 9 months. So, you know, the EBITDA margins clocked in this 9 months is 12.4%. You know, there are two numbers. One is 14 and one is 15.4. The one highlighted in red. Can you probably help me understand what are these two numbers first?
A minute.
Yeah.
It's slide 29.
So slide 29, just a moment. Okay, so the two numbers mentions, first of all, our EBITDA margin for the 9 months is 12.4%. If you exclude Germany, the margin is 14%. So that's what 14 means, that if we exclude the Germany loss, because Germany's initial setup loss for this year, excluding Germany loss, our EBITDA margins are 14%. So that's what it means. And excluding overall EBITDA, that 15.4% is the year-on-year growth number. So the 9 month EBITDA is down by 15.4%, but the moment you exclude Germany loss, it is down by 5.2%.
Okay, so like the bridge which you have for the quarter three, you know, wherein you mentioned gross margin and elevated sea freight, which is have roughly about 170 bps impact. Would you have a similar number for 9 months? And just wanted to understand, have you taken pricing increase to cover all this, you know, inflation which you're seeing, let's say, you know, at unit level or at, you know, at freight level or anything of that sort? You know, just trying to understand from a pricing perspective, have we covered that in quarter three, 170 bps is the impact for 9 months? I'm not sure what the number is. First of all, if you can share that number. And second of all, have you taken the commensurate price increase to offset that?
So our gross margins for the 9 months is 63% against a gross margin of 62.7% for the same period in last year. So there is a 30 bps increase in our gross margins. So some sort of pricing push we were able to do to our customers. But the entire impact of freight is not neutralized. There is some impact of freight in the 9 month period as well. So I guess there will be in the 9 month period, because in the last quarter the impact was very high. For a 9 month period also it will be similar to the level of 0.7 to 1% kind of an impact for freight. So maybe a 30 bps increase in gross margins, but close to a percentage point impact on a higher freight for the 9 month period. These two can be numbers taken.
Okay. Okay, just one last one. So can you probably help me understand the conversion from EBITDA to CFO has been low in the 9 months. Now, so do we have a lot of inventory which is there on the balance sheet, or, you know, what is missing in the max?
Yes, you are right. So our inventory have gone up from March to December. It is up by about 180 odd crores. Part of that is because of all these supply chain issues, which is the industry is grappling with in terms of the delay in supply. So the inventory in transit is also high. And part is also because we prepared for a higher sales quarter, but we are seeing lower sale through. So we have item in hand as at end of December. So that's impacting the operating cash flow for the 9-month period. Having said that, the corrective actions in terms of our future buying is already on the ground hitting. So we should see some unlocking to start from Q4 of this year.
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Manish.
The next question is from the line of Nilesh Shah from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Sunil. So I just want to refer to a report of MasterCard which came out in the last week of December, which talked about U.S. holiday sales jumping 8.5% and online shopping surged 11%, and categories like apparel and jewelry grew at 47% and 32% respectively. So I don't know if you're aware of this report, but if you can just kind of share your perspective, because our growth rate has been starkly different from the growth rates which this report specifically refers to.
So I've not seen this particular report, Nilesh, but what we're looking is tracking the data from QVC or eWine or these comparable companies. All these companies have negative growth year over year in last couple of quarters. QVC had 9 or 10% negative growth, and eWine had 8% negative growth. So compared to them, we are gaining market share. I know from UK data, it showed that the online purchase, non-food online purchase, contracted in last quarter. And in US, I don't have exact report. Vineet, do you have access to the report that you shared with me?
Yeah, so while the overall retail grew in both the geographies in this festive period, the online actually have contracted. So for US, if we look at US online sales to the total retail sales, so it jumped from 11% to 14% in FY20 on the back of pandemic. This year it is down to, in Q3 it is again down to 13%. So there is a contraction in overall e-com in the larger space. It is more prominent in UK. So from a level of 28% online share to total retail sales in UK, it is actually it went as up as 33% in Q3 of last year. It is again down to 28% in Q3 of this year. So in summary, what you were mentioning, while the MasterCard data also shows an increase in the retail performance, but online and percentage to total retail mix is declining in both the geographies in the same period.
Okay. Maybe I'll probably share the report, because maybe yes, the share is declining, but basically still it grew in double digits. So that was essentially my point. But anyway, I'll basically share this report or the article. My next question is basically our now guidance for the current financial year of 8 to 10%, which means that in Q4, we'll probably have to grow at about 6%. And given that we did 750 crores in Q3 and Q4, which means we'll have to hit again 700, 705 crores. How confident are we for this, even this significantly tempered down guidance of 8 to 10% for this financial year?
Yeah, so we are seeing the traction now of similar growth as currently we are seeing the growth similar to what we have seen in Q3 in all geographies put together. But given the investments that we've done in the new channel positions and new OTA homes and digitals, as you would have also seen from new customer acquisition growth, is higher this year compared to last year's robust growth. All these customers and investments give us confidence for maintaining this guidance.
Okay. Again, I turn to the guidance for next year, which is 13 to 15%. Given that next year should be a normal year, I'm actually just wondering why should our guidance for next financial year be lower than the medium-term outlook, given that now Germany kicks in, and Germany can potentially add 3 to 4% kind of growth rates to our overall growth rate. So in that context, if I kind of do ex Germany, maybe then what we are guiding for is probably close to about 10% growth rate for US, UK. Is my understanding correct? And why would we want to kind of guide for a lower growth rate versus our medium-term growth rate, given that we anyway now are dealing with a relatively lower base of FY22?
Yeah, so good point. Having burned the finger once, we just want to be conservative. And given that the last year, the current financial year, the growth rate has been very strong through May. So April, the first quarter was pretty strong. And we want to be careful not to comp, have higher growth projection for first quarter of next financial year. So Q4 and Q1 of next year would be subdued growth. And from Q2 onwards, you will see very strong growth.
Okay. Also, the B2B business is essentially back, though on a low base, but that has grown quite well. So just wanted to understand that while our overall retail business didn't manage to kind of grow relatively at a higher pace, but the B2B business grew at a higher rate. So why would this have happened, given that overall demand was perhaps sluggish in markets like US and UK?
Yeah, so earlier we were selling B2B from our US subsidiary to Walmart, not Walmart, but Macy's or Evines or these companies. And that was not giving us ROI. But 2 years ago, we started offering our manufacturing capability to directly from our supply chain, India and China. And that seems to be giving good ROI for us. And these retailers, mostly digital retailers and some B&M retailers as well, so they are finding our value to be compelling and buying from us. So there's one customer in Japan, and there are a couple of customers in the US and a couple in Europe. So they have been having higher offtake from us. It doesn't have any front-end expenses and gives us a bit of a scale in our supply chain.
And just one last point. There were again media reports that in the quarter gone by, there were some kind of information which was being sought by the US authorities from retailers for all the BNPL exposure that they have and all of that. Just wanted to ask if you're aware of that. Have we received any such communication? Any thoughts on that, given that BNPL is now close to 40% of our revenues?
Yeah, so BNPL has been around this number for us for many years now. Within that, 35 to 40%. So we have not increased much exposure on this. The relatively lower price point afford us to be a lower ratio. And no, we have not received any inquiry or any communication from government.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ashish Kanodia from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So, sir, the first question is on the ASP. So, when we look at the TV ASP, you know, it has gone up materially by almost 25% YOY. So, just want to get more clarity on what is driving this higher ASP. And a related question on this is, you know, I think on the gross margin, there was a comment that it's related to mix. So, you know, while the TV ASP has gone up, if you can throw some more color also that, you know, how the mix got impacted, which hurt the gross margin.
Yeah, so on TV this year, even to some extent, even on e-com, our customers were pulling more higher-end product. Probably they had more disposable income. So we offered them what they needed, and more related to jewelry and some even higher-end handbags and apparel as well. Not so much apparel, handbags and beauty products, which they pulled in higher products. So beauty accessories like anti-aging equipment and all that. But largely driven by jewelry that gave us higher price point. To your next point about product mix, so, you see, when this kind of disruptions happen, when people were staying home, they were buying a lot of at-home products like home improvement or home games and bed sheets and all that. When people were going out, they want more apparel or handbags or some beauty products and some accessories, jewelry, and outgoing accessories. So when the transit times are longer and the product mix changes, so there is a disruption into supply chain, demand versus supply. So that leads to a bit of a disruption, and that refers to our comment about gross margin in product mix.
Sure, that's very helpful. The second question is in terms of digital and broadcasting. So in terms of investment into digital and broadcasting, do you see the current quarter numbers being a true reflection of a more of a sustainable run rate? Or do you see that there is more investments to be needed? And particularly on this, I just want to understand, because what happens is there are two key things which happened during the quarter. So I think one was your faster air time in Germany, and second thing was also the improvement in the channel to 22 from 50. So because this might have happened in between the quarters, so do you see that the broadcasting and digital expense are going up in subsequent quarters?
Yeah, so we continue to take opportunities wherever offered to us. Last quarter, actually last couple of quarters, we've had opportunities in OTA space in U.S. and acquiring one Sky Channel in U.K. and in Germany also. We found many opportunities faster than we expected. So we took these opportunities, and the airtime usually returns investment or becomes to our cadence. It takes about almost a year, sometimes even longer than a year, to get to our cadence of airtime cost versus revenue. So we take these opportunities whenever offered. So that is from the airtime point of view. From digital point of view, we are seeing the more traction to digital space, and we've made investments into marketing on digital, marketplace digital, OTT digital, and mobile and desktop digital. So we've seen good customer acquisition, and you must have seen from the numbers, and that is helping us quite a lot. And so your question about continued investment in coming times. So from OTA point of view, if the opportunity will come, we will invest, but we don't have a clear visibility on how much more investment or more opportunities will come. So I would guide you to look at a current run rate of our investment of digital and airtime combined to be there in Q4 and next year as well. Our guidance is taking that into account of the revenue growth as well as leverage. So next year we'll definitely gain leverage in our existing geographies compared to this year, most definitely, but hopefully get closer to FY21.
Sure. And just last bit is, I think the base quarter is also inflated because of a lot of consumers buying essential items. So either is it possible to give some color that if you kind of take out the customers who were first-time buyers last year and just bought essentials, so if we have to take that out, how does the retention ratios look? Or the other way around could be, when we look at the TV and web volume. So for example, TV volume is down by almost 20% on a YOY basis. But if you have to actually exclude the essential items, right, which are not something of our core customer, then how that the typically TV volume would have looked like if that is available?
That is not available right off the bat, but Prashant can and pull the data and share with you, Ashish, in due course. But we do see, when you look at 2 year stack, our customer numbers are really robust. Just to give you one color on that. So in Q3 FY20, when you compare with that, our total customer number is 52% higher. So compared to last year, is only 10.7% higher. So the customer numbers are very robust for us, and that gives us confidence of continued future growth.
Sure. That's very helpful. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you, Ashish.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Runjhun Jain from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Sir, what is the freight charges status now? So has it stabilized, or you see that it is still at the higher level? and still would take probably some more time to come down, because we are what we're seeing from the other industry and other players that it has now stabilized and probably peaked out.
Yeah, Vineet, you want to answer that?
So I lost the initial word. The voice was breaking. Ranjun, is your question about freight cost, elevated freight cost?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so we saw an impact of about, say, 2% EBITDA margin in quarter two, which has come down to about 0.7% EBITDA margin in quarter three. So we do see some softening in terms of the overall impact. However, the current reality is that it is still far away from the normal levels of the last year. While the Baltic Index and the other freight rates also show a decline in the current months, the corresponding end mile delivery has increased substantially in the last 2-3 months owing to the port congestion in different parts of UK and US and the non-availability of the last mile delivery operators, etc. So all put together, the inward freight cost, though the impact has reduced quarter on quarter, but it's still not back to the old levels. We hope it will continue this way to improve, and in the coming quarters, we should start seeing some more unwinding of the same.
Sir, can you also quantify the Germany impact like we have given for Q2, that it was 2% impact in Q2? What is in the Q3 now on EBITDA?
So Q3 is just a second. Just give me one moment. 1.8% in Q3. So the 11.4% EBITDA margin which you see, so excluding the Germany loss for Q3, it is 13.2. So 1.8% is impact out of that.
Okay. Sir, this last question, you have said that we have the demand was impacted because people were going out and on web it was impacted. However, in the later part of the month, on the December, at the end of the quarter, we have seen that there were restrictions all around the world. And people were again, kind of getting stuck at home and not going out much. So you see that has increased any demand. So what I'm trying to understand is there an improvement in the demand in this month or in the late last half of the month in December?
So I can take that one.
Yeah, so
please go ahead.
Let me take that. Yeah. So from our business point of view, as I mentioned earlier to earlier question, in the current month, we are seeing current quarter. So in January is 27 days so far. So current quarter, we are seeing similar revenue growth in US, UK as we saw last quarter. So we are not seeing demand pick up robustly yet. We are modifying our product mix, product offering to customer based on where they are right now. And some items are receiving uptick and some are still slow. For example, at home product are still not as robust, but higher end jewelry is still is getting a lot of demand. Higher end jewelry or higher end beauty equipment is still getting demand. So we are constantly monitoring it, but the growth hasn't come in, kicked in yet. We expect our investments in OTA homes, our OTT marketing, digital marketing, and the new channel position in UK. So those initiatives to benefit us in coming weeks and months. And therefore, our guidance for current year to be 8 to 10% and next year to be 13 to 15% growth. On the current levels, on the year over year.
Sir, that's helpful. This last question, can you give any outlook on the margins? Because Q4 being our, seasonally weakest quarter in terms of margin because of the options and year-end sales we have. So what is the overall margins you believe that, any outlook for this year or next year?
Yeah, so our guidance on margin is always 60% up, and sometimes it can vary a little bit. As you saw in Q3, there was 100 basis point difference. But we always give guidance that our margin will be above 60% for the year, and we expect the current quarter to be same as well.
No, sorry, I'm sorry, sir. Your voice is a little muffled. I couldn't understand what you're saying.
Yeah. So we give guidance of 60% up margin for the always for the year, and then look at probably over the year. And for Q4, our guidance will be above 60% margin. And even for next year, it will be above 60% gross margin. Our effort is to increase wherever we can. But given that there is a headwind of still elevated freight, we don't want to give optimistic guidance. But it will be above 60%, definitely.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Rinjan.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Savyasachi Mukherjee from Centrum PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. So my first question is on the investments made into digital marketing, OTT marketing, and OTA homes. That impacted around 2.2% of sales into the EBITDA margin. So that works out to be around somewhere around 15-16 crores in this quarter. Are we maintaining, or are we likely to maintain this kind of run rate, quarterly run rate, in terms of investment in the coming quarters as well?
Yeah, I believe digital marketing investments will continue because we are seeing good return on that investment in within our platforms, customer acquisition, and the ROC, the ROAS that we see on that acquisition. Yeah, so the current spend should continue on the marketing side, in coming quarters as well.
Okay. My second question is, on the journey operations. So, we are probably clocking around, half a million revenue in terms of monthly run rate. And you mentioned that we are probably going to break even in Q3 of FY24. What level of monthly revenue run rate do you expect at that point in time so that we'll be, break even at the operating level?
So we are not giving guidance specifically for Germany. Based on our internal numbers of customer acquired, the retention rate, and the repeat, all these metrics gives us confidence to become profitable by Q3 of 2024. But we are not sharing the exact revenue guidance on Germany separately.
But what would be the OPEX involved, monthly run rate, if you can help me with that number?
I don't have it in front of me, and we are not giving specific guidance for Germany's revenue and profitability by quarter because it's still 2 years away. So we are not sharing that far out guidance at this time. It will be too premature.
Okay, I understand. A follow-up on Germany, my next question is, you mentioned in the last call that you'd be seeing a 3 to 5 million USD loss in year one of operations. I believe we have already hit $5 million, close to $5 million, by December end. So what is the estimate now stands at? I mean, the Germany loss in FY22 and FY23, if I may ask.
Yeah, so we expect the loss to be approximately $6 million for Germany for this financial year.
And you expect it to narrow down in the next financial year, or will it remain elevated?
Most definitely. We have to become profitable by Q3 of 2024. It will be lower next year.
Okay. Last bit, you have launched this Tansy and Rachel on the Apple side. So, if I may know the revenue from Tansy and Rachel or the garment sales for this quarter?
It's very still very small because it's a very startup phase for them. We are not breaking up separate revenue for them, but it is not significant yet. Right now for us is to identify the customer segment, the customer creatives that is resonating with customers, and overall retention and repeat from them. We're still too early for giving separate revenue on that.
Okay. And one last question, if I may squeeze. So you have invested in this, in case packaging. How will it help us? If you can, let us understand, what is the thought process approach over here?
Sure, Vineet, you want to take it?
Yeah, sure. So, in case packaging is a jewelry hard box manufacturer. It's an ISO operational unit based out of Sri City, Andhra Pradesh. It's a fully automatic and semi-automatic machine infrastructure ready kind of a business. So we used to buy our jewelry boxes from China, wherein the import duty in US was 25%. And the import duty on the same jewelry box from India is zero. So at the same cost, the jewelry boxes will now be manufactured in India and exported to US, so which will give us a substantial reduction in our packaging material, jewelry boxes, import duty cost. So a ballpark calculation shows that this initial investment of 4 crore should be paid back in 18 to 24 months time at the max, even by this duty saving. Besides, of course, this cost advantage, what we also get is a lot of agility, a lot of experimentation facility with us to design and change our jewelry boxes like we do for our products. And last but definitely not the least, this will add substantial boost to our effort to develop a sustainable packaging material. So we were trying to do that for quite some time now. And with this acquisition, it will give us a tremendous tremendous support in that journey as well.
Okay, great hearing from you guys. Thank you. Thanks a lot. That's all for me.
Thank you, Sabisaji.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bharat Shah from ASK Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Sunilji. Hi, Benetri. And request hi, to Sunilji that if you can speak a little loudly, in all the several calls that I've attended, I have to really stretch my auditory power to understand what you are saying. So I would request you to speak a little loudly because it's virtually impossible to get all the words. Just one long-term issue. Clearly, it looks like that the year of 2020-21 benefited us and our business much more because of the peculiar situation that the world was in. And that probably impacted consumer behavior. And accordingly, we had a supersized growth compared to our healthy, longer-term growth of about 17-18% that we've witnessed prior to that. So clearly, 2021 appears to be an outlier kind of a year, especially now, as Vineet was sharing the data that e-commerce as a percentage of the retail also seems to have corrected in US, UK. Not a huge deal, but certainly there is some amount of softening. Now, given all of that, our business model has been pretty well crafted, well articulated, high gross margin. With the improvement of the business, there is that operating leverage which kicks in. Good way to capture customers and then retain and grow them and do all of that in a capital efficient way and keep adding product categories, various SKUs to keep the customers hooked and use various sales channels to keep expanding our funnel. And we just work well all these times. But given the last two clearly chastening kind of quarters, where September was the June was initial early signs of some amount of softness, September affirmed it, and December clearly has belied our expectations and shown us clear softening. So if all of this is taken into account, on a longer term basis, is there any challenge or difficulty that you are viewing or need to revisit our business model? Or do you think there is something which has impacted the business model itself, if that is a concern?
So thanks, Bhagwai. Thanks for your questions. So business model, we don't look at business model on quarter-to-quarter basis. We look at stack basis. As I shared the numbers on two-year stack basis, the growth is consistent with five-year CAGR. So up to financial year 21, our five-year CAGR was 14.8%. And the two-year stack, when you look at, when I share the number, there's more than 14.8% CAGR. So given that stack and the long-term trend, we are actually doing better than five-year trend, not anything lower. And in future growth also, as I mentioned, midterm, our growth trend, we have given guidance of 15 to 17%, which is higher than our previous five-year stack of 14.8% CAGR. And the investment that we are constantly make, so we don't shy, even if the sales were not trending as good as we wanted, we continue to make investment on our headquarters in US or getting the channel in UK or in investment into packaging company, because we are confident of the business model. And we are walking the talk, not just saying it. We are making that investment. So given this, all these investments that we have made into better channel positions, digital platforms, including OTA, including OTT, mobile app, marketplaces, and OTA homes and channels, we are confident of our future growth in midterms. Even next year, even though there is so much uncertainty around, there may be another wave, hopefully not, but we are going conservative giving the guidance for next year, given having burned my finger for the last two quarters. So I want to be sure that we don't repeat that mistake again.
No, no, which is fine. I'm not particularly deterred by the fact that a couple of quarters have been softer. My question is more fundamental, and partly I think I heard you saying this, that our confidence remains, therefore investments and additional asset building on digital and channel building activities apace and going on. Germany investment is a proof that we are pursuing the longer term path rather than a shorter term path. But my question goes that you see, last year, now it is quite evident that we benefited more specially, given the fact that people were cocooned at home, were bored and didn't know what to do, probably bought some jewelry or whatever other stuff. So that might have given one time additional incremental age to our performance. But on the core part, the longer term growth rates in terms of the opportunity, would we believe it is similar to earlier period 16-17% growth or higher?
So this is what I reiterated, Bhavbhai, including FY21, which was a robust year for us, including the pandemic benefit that we got. So when you look at five-year CAGR from FY17 to FY21, it was 14.8%. Now, for future, we are giving 15 to 17% growth rate projections, which I'm confident that we will. Now, only for the current financial year, will be 8 to 10%, and next year will be 13 to 15%. So when you look at current year and project it out to next 5-7 years, our CAGR will be equal or better than past 5 years of 14.8%.
Okay.
So that I'm confident, because our business model is very unique. Vertical business model, low cost structure, direct to consumer, high gross margin, and retention of customer to great lifetime value, and highly engaged customer. I don't see any threat to the business model or fundamental change to this model, which is coming or will come in.
No, sure. No, that I'm glad you said what you said. That 15 to 17%, which is clearly higher than the past 5 years, but on a longer term, next 5-6 years is definitely an important one. I didn't realize we were talking about coming 5-6 years at 15-17%. So that answers me. The one part of the question. The other part I wanted to, and equally I'm glad that you have not moved away from making investment into the business, because that will be like taking the defeat and ensuring that we kind of retreat back. So I'm glad you have not done that. But my second part of the question was that when we think about the more engaged, more lifetime value, loyal, long-term customers, from our age of non-TV kind of the business keeps expanding, would you say the same loyalty factor and the same kind of customer behavior? Because clearly, newly acquired customer behavior, there must have been something not exactly is in the past. Otherwise, what we acquired last year is customers should have contributed in a similar way to in the current year. So clearly, new digital age, non-TV space acquired customers, if they keep getting larger percentage of the activity, would we say the same thing about lifetime value, loyalty, and uniqueness of the model working in our favor?
Yeah, so the digital customer that we are acquiring has lesser lifetime value and lesser repeat purchase. That is true. But we also made investment into OTA homes and the new child position in UK, which is a substantial investment for us. Yeah, especially in these difficult times, shows a lot of confidence from our side. Now, the OTA homes and OTT homes that we are going into, I'll just give you a reference. So let me finish first OTA. So OTA homes, we made substantial investment in this financial year in US and now for new channel position in UK. So those customer lifetime value is same as TV lifetime value. Now, to offset any digital customers a lower lifetime value, we have also invested substantially in OTT space. OTT is like Roku or Amazon Fire or YouTube or AT&T Now or Samsung TV. We are in about 10, 12 different platforms. The lifetime value of that customer is even higher than TV customer. So just to give a reference, the TV customer lifetime value is approximately $700 or $800. And the OTT platform customer's lifetime value is over $3,000.
All right.
So we're acquiring customer from every space possible and looking at that acquisition cost against the lifetime value of the customer. So we are looking at ROAS, return on ad spend. So we look at the spend versus what is the return coming from customer very minutely at every platform, whether it's influencer or mobile or Google, within mobile or desktop, Google or Facebook or TikTok, everywhere. TikTok, we are just experimenting now, so it's not really meaningful. but Facebook and Google, within Google there are multiple areas. So we are looking at every channel and looking at what is the revenue and lifetime value of the customer versus the hour spent. And from that basis, we are measuring our business and making investments.
Right. So what we are saying is the digital customers may be less loyal, but our newly acquired or newly being acquired OTA, OTA customers should more than make up for it, because they were far, almost 3.5-4 times the lifetime value compared to the TV customers. So and that's a kind of a balancing across multiple sales channels that we are doing.
Correct. So balancing, we are not consciously doing, okay, we have acquired so many digital, so we must acquire more TV customers. So I don't want to give that impression. We are looking at every opportunity possible to acquire customer in a profitable way. If you're acquiring, say, 5x a digital customer, but if you're able to acquire them profitably, we'll do it. We're looking at each channel, what is the cost of acquisition and what is the lifetime value of the customer. Even if there's a more front-end investment, we would make it.
No, clearly. That I'm aware of, the financial discipline and generating healthy return on each of the investments, whether digital or non-digital. So that sensible prudence is something that I am familiar with, that of Vaibhav. Now, thank you for all the answers, Sunilji. And I hope this will hopefully improve our forecasting machine a little better. Forecasting remains a hazardous business always, and therefore when we make projections, always there is a challenge. But I am glad that you are doing that, and if there are answers which are thrown up by the model is not very satisfying as it has been for last 2-3 quarters, that we are fine-tuning, improving our customer comprehension, improving our model in such a way that we have hopefully more improved capability to make a bit more meaning out of the future.
Yes, you're right. But last 2 quarters, we did not meet the guidance. And that is the reason we went conservative this quarter in our guidance. And you're right, the forecasting is hazardous as we have seen last 2 quarters. But given how we see and how the investment we made, we feel confident of the guidance that we've given and in our future.
Sure. So to summarize, business model remains intact. Our confidence of the future remains intact. Therefore, our investments are continuing, digital channels, non-digital channels, geography expansion and other forays, automation and whatnot. And the core part of the business, that is the business expands, our operating margins would improve and operating leverage would kick in, remains intact. And in fact, our future growth rates are likely to be higher than the last 5-year average growth, which includes fiscal 21 and which was an elevated year. So despite that, we are expecting the future growth rate to look higher than the last 5 years growth. So overall, everything stays except this not particularly very helpful kind of a period.
That is correct. Very well summarized, Bharat. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, and all the very best.
Thank you.
Due to time constraints, we would request participants to limit your questions to one at a time now. The next question is from the line of Kimberly Pace from Equentis Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question. So we've mentioned about mid-teens margin in the medium term. But what sort of margins can we expect in the near term, like the next few quarters, considering that even the German losses in the near term will be slightly higher than expected?
So from the sales growth, we already given the guidance. This year, this full financial year will be between 8 to 10% growth year over year top line. Next financial year, we are expecting 13-15% growth rate on top line, and thereafter 15-17% growth rate on top line.
And
we don't give guidance on EBITDA margin per se, but we give guidance on gross margins to be 60% and up of our business. Now, this year Germany lost approximately 6 million. Next year, we are not giving guidance this quarter, but we'll give guidance in next quarter. What will be the German losses next year? We want to see trend better. Outside of Germany, UK and US will have operating leverage compared to this year between both US and UK. Our effort will be to get to last year's EBITDA margin, but we are not giving guidance to reach last year's EBITDA, but definitely it will be leveraged on this year's EBITDA gross margin ratios.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Latika Jetha from Concept Investwell. Please go ahead.
So my first question is, in the past, you had mentioned that VGL has been doing influencer programs, but I want to understand if VGL is doing just promotions via these influencers and creating product visibility, or these influencers are helping us in selling while doing live streaming. So the reason live influencer streaming market is growing pretty fast. And recently there was a headline that influencer known as expecting enough $1.7 billion goods in a single day on Alibaba's platform. So just wanted to get a sense how VGL fits into this influencer program thing.
Thank you, Ratika. A good question. So we are utilizing influencer currently for content creation and posting those creatives on Facebook, Instagram, and getting customers from them. So right now, that is the only utilization we are doing. We are not utilizing them for live streaming yet, because both in US and UK, influencer live streaming is still in very infant stages. As that space matures, US, UK, Germany, we'll definitely go there, but it is not there yet. So we are creating relationships with those influencers for content creation and posting our content on social media yet at this time.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mayur Kathani from OHM Group. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I wanted to probe a little bit more on the operating margins. I mean, today we are at 12% or so with the Germany impact, with the impact of, your continuous investments in your new channels, etc. So even if I take the Germany impact off, we will come to, from 11.5%, we will come to 2% additional 13.5%. The freight might give us, let's say, 0.5%, so we'll become 14% margins. And you say you continue to invest in the newer, channels, etc., whatever, the OTT platforms and all. So I want to know, where is the operating leverage coming in? I mean, I can see 14% margin over the next 2 years' time in this company, but how confident are you on the operating leverage? I mean, the operating leverage should take us to 16-17% plus margins. Is that a fair understanding?
Minit, you want to answer that?
Yeah, sure. Though we don't give clear guidance on the margin number per se, what we see that our business is such that we'll continue to see operating leverage. If you look at the last 5 years as well, so from a single digit, we moved up to 15.3% in the last year. This year is definitely an anomaly with the Germany investment, the Germany losses of about 35 crores already in the 9 months, plus the elevated freight cost. And more than that, all these accelerated investments which we are doing in the digital space, as well as all the OTA homes broadcasting, because of which we see an upfront higher expenditure, hence the margins are down to about 12% for the 9-month period as of now. what Sunil also mentioned a few minutes back, for the next year, like in our revenue guidance of 13 to 15%, we expect the operating leverage to come back. Our endeavor would be to go back to the earlier kind of margin levels, but definitely be a much improved EBITDA margin from the current year. And once the Germany market starts giving profit, all these elevated freight level goes out of the way, post that every 15 to 17% growth year after year will continue to give the operating leverage story year after year. So one has to look in that perspective, that it's a long-term operating leverage story remains intact. One blip of the current year expected to normalize and unwind from in the next year itself.
I completely understand that, sir. My question was more on the investments that you continue to do on the newer platforms, OTTs, etc. That's around 2% today. So that should become a part of the business, right? Then we can't say that this is 2% is a one-off. It's a continuous investment. Right? Germany, I understand. Logistics, yes, freight, etc. I mean, over time, I'm sure it's going to come back to normal or, there'll be some elevated impact. But the investments in OTT platforms, they will continue for a much longer time if you want that 15 to 17% top line growth.
Sure. So the margin reco which we give, what we say that in enhanced investment in broadcasting and digital, we don't mean the OTT thing out there. So what is increasing this year largely is the increased investments in the OTA homes. So this year we contracted a lot many new OTA homes. Like any other TV broadcasting, so when we contract a new home, the cost comes upfront, the revenue comes with a time lag. Hence, this year, the upfront cost is reflecting in the margins. At the same time, we have stepped up our ante on the digital marketing spend as well. So it is almost three times the level of what we used to do in the same quarter of last year. So both these put together, the airtime cost increase of these OTA homes and the digital marketing spend upfront, both these helps in acquiring more customers, which we are doing right now, and the revenue follows with a slight time lag. Hence, short-term impact on margins. Sunil, in answers to one of the questions previously mentioned, that the run rate of increase will not be there like you are seeing in the current quarter. For this expenditure. So the airtime, maybe one can factor in the same rate of airtime and this web marketing spend while making a guidance for the next year. So to summarize, while the cost may remain at this level, the revenue will enhance and hence the operating leverage will start flowing in. For the short term, since this is substantially increased investment, you see a dip in the margin because of that.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Chintan Sheth from Sameeksha Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. I'll still probe on the revenue growth part. Sunil, you mentioned about the growth on the two-year basis has been higher than the five-year basis. But if I look at our registration numbers has gone up compared to what we were having in FY20. But our volumes hasn't grown. We are not a player where we play on ASPs, right? The business depends on the volumes. If the volume doesn't grow, then there is seriously some challenge or some issues with the business, I guess, or demand has shifted, structurally to something else. So are you seeing the same concern? Are you having the same concern? Because if I look at the TV volumes on a Q3 FY22, the volumes have been flat. There is no growth at all. Despite our registration has grown from less than 2 lakhs to 3.1 lakh currently. So how should I
understand? So our business is very dynamic. And we are not in the cement or biscuit business. The SKU level is very small and the revenue is driven only by volume. Our price point varies from $5 to $5,000 and SKU base is very, very wide. So we let customer decide what they want to pull in and we'll offer similar product to them what they're pulling in. So because of this agility, sometimes you would see the ASP change, but that is the strength of the business, not a challenge. Given that customer wanted higher price point, we offered higher price point and got our revenues to where the best we could. Now, in future times, will the ASP remain at 32.4 that we saw in 9 months? I don't think so. I think we'll come down because when the business normalizes, people will go stay at home or buy what they regularly need. It will, over the time, it will moderate. So that's why we don't give specific guidance on volume. We give guidance on revenue and the gross margins because the business is so dynamic.
Mm-hmm. But one would wonder that with new registration and more SKUs versus what we had 2 years back, there should some pick up in volumes. I'm not sure how to look at it, but the way, you know, the number of customers are increasing, number of SKUs you are having is higher, then we are seeing a quarter where there is no growth at all. So it has to...
Look at the... Chintan, when you analyze, say, DMart, you don't analyze them by number of pieces sold or how many number of kilos they sold. You analyze them by a per square feet retail space revenue growth, right?
Right.
Here, you have to look at per minute revenue sold, per minute revenue or per square inch of our real estate homepage revenue growth.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we look at. Not exactly by volume, but by revenues and gross margins.
Sure. And one clarification on the guidance. Is it X of Germany or how should we look at it?
So going forward, we are giving consolidated guidance. Because Germany, we started breaking down and giving complete numbers. So it will be consolidated going forward.
And the broadcasting absolute cost for the quarter will kind of stay at the absolute level, will stay at this level or more investments are... we are looking at from 90 crore run rate this quarter, it will stay at this level or we should expect a little bit more increase in coming quarters?
So broadcast itself would not be higher than this number, but digital marketing may be. But from percentage to revenue basis, you may see stable or slightly lower in coming quarters. I can't give a specific quarter guidance, but overall, you may see some leverage there.
Sure, sure. I'll jump back in. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chintan.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, this was the last question for today. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So I want to thank all the participants for your time and for great questions. And I also thank you for your audio support to VGL in past years. If you have any further question, feel free to reach to Prashant Saraswat at VGL or Carl Kola at CDR. And we'll be happy to answer your questions. Thank you once again. Over to you.
Thank you. On behalf of Vaibhav Global Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. And you may now disconnect your lines.